We are going to be having a meeting where we are going to look at the session of the report to begin. I don't think it should be that much of a meeting, but yeah, it's quite a number of issues which are going to be mentioned. Mr. Brown, are there any opposition to the question?
Good morning, ladies. I have apologies for Honorable Mokoto and Honorable Bishop for the last journey. And we have received a continuous
Honourable members, before we even get into today's discussions, when we were in a period where the NSC examination was running, and we need to commend the department so far, really, there's very minimized effort of the things that are reported, where we find that there are things that are disturbing the exams, but whatever we hear about, I think we need to give the department a chance to explain to us if ever there are things that are that we hear about that are happening to dent the image of the department when it comes to these examinations, because it's one examination where we are already going, as a whole country, we are very jealous of. We don't need anything to destabilize the information and to tamper with the integrity of the whole information system. And last week, honourable members, I think we all heard in the media about the incident that happened in one of the schools in Gauteng, Ocha, the Robert School, where the Joker paper was written, and the card was, you know, the military telling them will give the department a chance just to explain to us, because what we need to explain from now is that if ever that incident did happen, how huge was the damage? Was it something that could be contained in one school, or are we looking at an incident that might have the ability of sending a bigger number of those who are involved in the examination? And really, the department just to appraise us on if ever that has really happened, what are the steps taken, what is the position of the potential of the school, and not especially to the head of the school, the principal, if he can reach the explanation in the way he has done. Secondly, honourable members, there is a gentleman by the name of Eric, I think he's from ASMK, he has continuously written to, let me say, to me as a chairman of the committee, saying he's owning a construction company, and he has rendered services to the department of those applications. I'm not even sure what the truth is, but we have been communicating with the department. I think now even the gentleman is becoming even more unsatisfied with the response that you're getting from the department. And it's one area where, really, before we even start, we'd love you just to talk to us and to say, how do they take small emerging companies, of which we always say, when we talk to the issue of 30 days payment, when the service has been rendered, because it's arguing that they have rendered the service to the department, but now when it comes to the issue of payments, they're not getting the payment. It's one thing that you cannot take this thing lightly. The department needs to come serious to say, what is it, what is stopping them from paying this? And maybe it's not even that only one construction company, we don't know others, but as this one that has been raised, let us get them a response to the department. We are going to pay them for that. The last one, because this will be very short for the others before we get into today's discussion. This is the issue of infrastructure, the issue of sanitation is one issue that is very difficult to deal with. We even understand that even in your annual report and also from the agency report, you should have a way you are not doing well. It was very disturbing even during on the past weekend where we saw, I think it was like in the Eastern Cape. I really don't know whether to label there such a thing as open toilets, but they were very open. When we talk to the dignity of our land and dignity to the community, that thing that we saw there was really not even dignity to the people. And even open as they are, when you look at the way they are sinking down. It's just dangerous. The others have another issue to our land. If we can just talk to us about such things. As I'm saying, there might be a lot of them, but those that have come up to the public, let us address them and even go further to those who have the council. If you can address these three issues actually before we even engage and get into the whatever report that you are here to do, I think we can do it. But then, honourable members, let me report this. Last week we had that engagement with the department and the school that was arranged by honourable members. I'm happy to report that the department has been there. They are engaging with the school. Something has started to happen. Even honourable members was calling me yesterday, very excited. Even the principal of the school was very excited, saying, I must thank the popular committee on his behalf. Something is happening in the school. So thank you very much, DBE, that when we come to you, we'll raise some of these things to your conference. And that is what we do. Can I then hand over to you?
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, colleagues. Honourable Chair, indeed, you will provide brief responses, but we prepared a report that we want to leave with your office, which you decide whether you want to share with members on all the issues that you have raised, the three schools, areas in particular. Let me start with the Mponteng Secondary School. Maybe before I do that, Chair, I advise that Ms. Bonandi is making appearance to the committee for the first time. She is the acting director for strategic planning, Mosi Pom Bonandi. So she is the acting director for strategic planning. That I must introduce her. The rest of the members of the team are well known to the committee. just to say that the Mponteng Secondary School indeed an irregularity took place there. The type of the irregularity that took place is that the principal, who happens to be a geography teacher, and the chief invigilator at the school. The rule is that if your paper is being written, you are not allowed, even if you are a chief invigilator, your deputy or an assigned teacher takes over and carries out the responsibilities of a chief invigilator. But what happened in that instance is that the principal went into the two exam rooms to explain the rules to the learners. What has not happened, Chair, is that the papers were not opened before the actual time. The papers are usually opened around 8:45 if you write, or 15 minutes before the actual time of writing, and they are brought sealed before everybody. Everybody means the learners and the individuals in the classroom, and they are open there in the presence of everybody. So that process took place as expected. But what then happened is that the principal went from one room to the other explaining the examination rules, which was what he was not supposed to do. And then what subsequently happened is that we got this from Umalusi, who got an email from a parent of one of the learners who are writing at school. And the DBE and GBE immediately instituted an investigation to look at the veracity of the irregularity. It's for that reason that I'm saying we've got the report which we'll leave with you. The extent of the irregularity was about explaining the rules to the learners, which the principal was not supposed to do. In particular, he was not supposed to be in any of the centers, given the fact that the subject that was written is the subject that is teaching. So the principal has been suspended with immediate effect. And processes of labor relations have also been instituted to deal with the principal. A new chief invigilator has been appointed from the district to take on from that incident and run the rest of the exams. I think I should just leave it there to say that is the extent of the irregularity. The report is available, detailing everything on the investigation carried out by DBE and GBE. So that is the extent of the irregularity, I'd like to emphasize. And then regarding a certain Mr. Eric, I would like to call Mr. Eric. We have also compiled a report which Mr. Mafuku will make available to the chair as well. Indeed, the gentleman construction company was engaged by the department, and of course delays happened, not in terms of not just paying the gentleman. Chair will recall that last year, beginning of this year, we talked about projects that IDT could not deliver, and they had to be taken from IDT, given to DBSA, given to the other implementing agencies. In the course of doing that, there were delays of getting contractors paid, and this gentleman's construction company happens to be one of those, but it's not the only one. And what eventually happened after everything was sorted out, contracts were ceded to the right implementing agent, the gentleman was paid, he was paid 4.7 million, we got proof of that. And he was paid for the delay because the PFMA clearly directs that if you are unable to pay within 30 days, a person is entitled to claim interest. He's been paid interest of 76,000, which we will have to declare as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So all in all, the gentleman has been paid 4.6 million, which is what is due to him. But he argues that he needs to be paid 90,000 more. Our argument is that we've done our calculation, we paid him what is due to him. The team tells me that even his professional services team agrees with our calculation, his own professional agree with our calculation. And the advice that we have given to the gentleman is that if there are disputes around contracts, you go for mediation. And our advice is that you must go for mediation, because if they agree with party, we'll avail ourselves for mediation and put our records before the mediation for the mediation to finalize the matter. So that is the advice that we gave to him, and that's the advice that we are still giving. He was paid in October, what is the extra date?
Check. The last payment for work done was on the 14th of November 2017. That was the last amount for work done, and the payment, the interest payment that DG is referring to was paid on the 4th of October 2018. So for work done on site, the payment was done last year.
Thank you, Mr. Mafuku. Chairperson, and then the indeed, we were also not only embarrassed but terribly exposed for them. I mean, I'm referring to the sector, by the incident that was covered in the city press of learners who were using toilets which were open. For some reason or another, the team tells me that this school is not on the list of the Eastern Cape projects, no, on our list of schools that are deserving and that require urgent attention. And we've requested that an investigation be carried out to establish as to why was the school not put on our list, not on the list of the Eastern Cape Department of Education. But what we have done as a way of responding to this matter urgently, we have sent a team from the implementing agent to go and do the scoping. Vula Trust, the team tells me that they've gone there to do the scoping of the project so that we respond to this matter as quickly as possible. But we will carry out the investigation. I should have indicated, Chair, in concluding the second matter that you raised with us, to say that I have arranged a meeting with implementing agents in the Eastern Cape and contractors. All contractors who are doing work for us, I'm meeting with them on Friday. The team is also meeting a group of some of the people who either have an interest in infrastructure or are involved in infrastructure, who feel aggrieved because they have not been awarded some of the bids that we have put out for construction. So the team is meeting with them on Thursday, because what happened is that they went into the site of construction and disrupted the work that was going on there, and actually moved out some of the contractors who were dealing with work there. I was overseas, and my advice was that the acting DG, in consultation with the deputy minister, who was Ms. Kiovek at that time, and the minister, should consider an urgent interdict so that work goes on, because if you get contractors disrupted in terms of the work that they do, it's going to again delay the delivery of some of the projects that we should be delivering in the current financial year. But we've been advised by senior legal experts that we must seek a meeting with them first, which is going to happen on Thursday, to hear them out, but also indicate quite clearly to them that we will not allow them to disrupt the construction work that is taking place in different sites in the Eastern Cape. But just to conclude it, I will be meeting with the contractors so that it's not only cases of people who've got access to public representatives which are responded quickly, but I will be finding out from all the contractors, because at times we pay the money to implementing agents only to find that they take a long time before they pay the contractors, or they just don't pay them at all. So that is our initial meeting. My intention is that if we can, we'll have regular meetings of this nature so that we sort of obviate some of the problems of contractors who are not paid. But we'll also be working with provincial education department to look at the data that we have in terms of infrastructure, so that we avoid what happened with the case that landed with the city press. So on each of those cases, we've got reports which will make available to you, Chair, for your further scrutiny, and we'll continue to update within those reports that we'll be giving to you.
I'm not sure whether members have anything to say on what is going to be the case, just to see if you can get the G and those things. If not, I will then hear the DG's that with today's presentation. But thank you very much, everyone, DG. But we always say as a portfolio committee, as we said when we were concluding, there are those who won't have that leeway of conducting us like Mr. Eric has done. I'm sorry, I have just forgotten, but I know whenever he writes, say Eric, so I'm not even sure of the surname. But there would be, it can happen that there would be very few Eric, but there are so many Erics that are frustrated out there, so really would lead with the department to make sure that you expedite the payments when it comes to that, and also your working harmony when it comes to the contractors, as we have seen what has happened in the Eastern Cape. Thank you very much for that. Ms. Patron, Honorable Patron.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to comment on the last issue, this school, which was on media where learners were using the open toilet. What strategies do we have? Because from a DG's report is that if the Eastern Cape was not, is not one of the schools that they prioritize, it was not in the list. I happen to see the incident of those learners who were using the toilets that I don't know what type of toilet was that so good. Now, in our strategies now, what can we do in order to know how many Dalinjebo or Dalibunga schools that sort? How many Dalibunga schools that are on not on the list are not listed by the province but are having crisis like this? What can we do in order to be able to speak to the problem in totality? Because we will always come with numbers that we are demolishing, we are building, but when the media comes, we are like if we were reactionary instead of being proactive.
Thank you very much for that question. Because what it means is that even with the last week's presentation, we're getting numbers from the provinces and how much needs to be spent on making sure. If ever we still have such incidences, it means even the steps that you say is something that you cannot that much rely on. Something somehow for many people to make sure that we get into the root of how much is the backlog when it comes to the issues of sanitation.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honourable. Well, what we will do, we will have to go back to HEDCOM and get HEDCOM to help us in making sure that the data that we get, which is signed off by HODs, is accurate. That's the first thing. The second issue that we need to deal with is that I had a brief discussion with Mr. Kuno and the team. Mr. Kuno is the CFO and is also the caretaker branch for infrastructure. That we either need to revamp NIMS. NIMS is the National Education Infrastructure Management System that we had before. The old NIMS, you used to have pictures, which will give you the condition and the environment, I mean the surroundings, of each and every infrastructure facility in basic education. I know that to put that data together was a very expensive exercise. If we have to invest on it, we'll have to do that, to use at least, you know, the system that is more reliable on the press of the button can give us a sense of what is happening in the whole country. So in the long term, that's what we are looking for. We'll either have to talk to Treasury and say from the education infrastructure grant, let's take a portion of that and dedicate it to building an infrastructure system that can help us to have a comprehensive data on infrastructure facilities in the whole country, rather than just depending on what provinces will be giving us. And how NIMS was started was that a service provider was contracted to go to each and every facility. The only flip side from our side is that after that, you know, important data was put together, it was never properly maintained over the years. And as a result of that, it became unreliable. So we might have to start from scratch and build up a completely new data which is reliable, which will be maintained, assign people who maintain it regularly, so that the tick of the button, I should get a sense of every facility in the whole country. In that way, it will help us to work with data that is more reliable than being surprised with everybody when something is raised about a facility which is in our system.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Although I'm struggling with my voice, I'm not sick, I'm well. It's just that my voice is taking a bit of a strain. I have a tacit agreement with Ms. Mbonambe that it's a maiden presentation, and we agreed that I could start the presentation. If my voice is fading, then she'll take over, or we'll see how far we we'll go. So we have that agreement. I just thought that indicate that. This is the outline of the presentation. The first part is really about reporting on performance indicators, like in the predetermined objectives and targets. And as the part B will be about linking the expenditure to what has been achieved. As already indicated, the purpose is really to report on outputs for the second quarter against the planned targets of the predetermined objectives, which are encapsulated in the annual performance plan of 2018-2019, and therefore look at the expenditure. Chair, as I usually do, I'm not going to go through everything word by word. I'll just hit the punchline. Just stick to the slides and then move. In terms of the highlights, what is important, because it relates even to activities including the expenditure in the report, which is part B of the report, is that we've effected a few appointments, a few meaning a couple of appointments at senior management level, and we're highlighting particularly the appointment transfer of the chief financial officer, who is also the branch head for the finance administration branch. We've also appointed other senior managers, including the chief director for the post of education human resource development. We've also, as part of the highlight, had five read to lead exhibitions. We've already reported in the state of readiness report about our winter schools, the camps that we monitored. We're reporting on that, 78 camps or sites that we visited to nine provinces. And we also visited provinces as part of the state of readiness, just to run off the year in terms of monitoring the system. We also tracked learner performance, looking at data coming from provinces for grade 3, 6, 9, and 12. And we also reporting on the delivery of workbooks, Chair, for 2019. We've already delivered volume 1 of workbooks. It's with schools. And you are saying the work that has been done there is 99.4 for volume 1, which is delivered to 23,354 schools. And we are in the process of printing and delivering volume 2. Volume 1 is used in the first semester. Volume 2 is used in the second semester. And our intention is to deliver all this in 2018, both volume 1 and volume 2. And I'm sure your oversight visit can attest to the fact that if there's anything that we've at least managed is the timely delivery of workbooks. It's one project, one flagship project that has been associated with success. And we're trying to take those lessons and use them even for stationery, even textbooks and provinces. The RIP, Rural Education Assistance Project, was launched in KZN in Pietermaritzburg on the 27th of September. And we have a total of about 252 education assistants who are participating in the launch, and a total of 750 education assistants who have been appointed. Chair, you'll recall that this is a project covering your three big and rural provinces, KZN, Eastern Cape, and Limpopo, are the provinces that are benefiting from this. Over time, the intention is to extend it to the other six provinces as well. Connectivity, 102 schools have benefited from that. And of course, in KZN, Mpumalanga, Northwestern Free State. In terms of early childhood development, to finalize the plan to move 0 to 4 year old or birth to 4 year old from social development, as it is the decision that has been taken already by both in the ruling party and in government, the DDG, Dr. Maboya, and a counterpart in social development have had meetings to finalize the plans to move this home over. I must warn Chair that it's a very big project, and I was giving the DG in the presidency a brief update because he requested for this as we're traveling to Cape Town. I said to him, everybody needs to be patient with the two departments that are involved. It might be that it would take some time for this function to move over to education. And we don't want to rush it without putting the necessary plans in place, without making sure that the funds follow functions, because it will not help for the basic education sector to celebrate for getting the function without getting the requisite resources and making sure that the function becomes better catered for in basic education than being disadvantaged. So the two departments are working closely together. At the right time, I think we will provide more information on plans that we have worked out to move the function from social development to basic education. The Council of Education Ministers and the Minister approved the inclusion of Kiswahili in the National Curriculum Statement as a non-official language, which will join the rest of the other languages. And I'm reliably informed that that is the only African language in the non-official languages. I think we've got about 18, if I'm not mistaken, the paper. All in all, 18. Before that, we had 17. You've got Mandarin, you've got French, you've got even the East European languages that are also included there as part of the non-official languages, wherein schools are at liberty to offer them to learners in addition to the languages that we prescribe for our curriculum. So Kiswahili has now been included there. The Second Chance Matric program has reached out to 18,242 learners. We've also awarded Fools and Ushaka Brothers 13,704. Young people have been included in this brother scheme. Lurie's 2 is part of modernizing SSMs. We have uploaded 11 million 602,730 learners into the system, which involves 25,104 schools. As part of Lurie's 2, again, Lurie's 2 is hosted on the CETA cloud, and now we go through a first full cycle of upload, and the National School Deworming Program has reached 75% of the total number of learners were earmarked, which is 8,719,216 of the 11,082,752 targeted primary school learners. A total of 207 schools were trained in the prevention and management of bullying as part of dealing with violence in schools. So in terms of the annual performance plan, departing from the delivery agreement of outcome 1, which is improving the quality of basic education, and the action plan to 2014 towards the realization of school in 2025, we are presenting on the 5 programs that are indicated there. And this slide just seeks to summarize our performance in terms of the annual targets, the quarterly targets, biannual targets, what has not been achieved, what has been partially achieved, and what has been achieved. And as we can see, Chair, in terms of quarter one, 17% was not achieved at all. 8% was partially achieved and 75% was achieved. If we look at quarter two, 14% has not been achieved, 7% partially achieved, and 79% has been achieved. A drastic improvement from the first quarter, if you compare first quarter to the second quarter. And we do that on this pie chart, just to give a picture of, you know, how the figures look like. Program one, the purpose of this program is to manage the department and provide strategic and administrative support services. From indicator 1.1.1, this has been partially achieved, as indicated the Chair. And what is significant when it comes to indicators, if you allow me, Chair, is just to say the extreme two columns are more important, the one that indicates reasons for deviation and the one that talks to progress and milestones. Those are the very important when it comes to the indicator. 1.1.1.2 and 1.1.1.3, these are annual targets, and therefore the milestones become more significant. The milestone will tell you whether we are on course in meeting the annual target or not. And so far, it shows that we are well on course to do that. In terms of the summary of the program, just to look at key issues, as I said, we've effected appointments on key senior management posts, the post of the DDG, Chief Director and Director, I indicated there, training in terms of social responsibility, training and social responsibility. 31 employees attended skills development training in 4 programs, and the numbers are delineated as indicated there, turning to the number 31. Training again in terms of social responsibility and employee health and wellness program. What is significant there are the significant days which were commemorated in the department and those days are indicated there as well. And financial services, security and asset, I know that this would be a matter of interest to the committee as well. Invoices which were received and paid within 30 days, we perform at 98.8%. We would like to perform at 100%, but I'm sure the CFO will be able to give reasons as to the difference of the 98.8%. Labor relations managers have been trained, 20 there as indicated, and two arbitration hearings were set down on the 12th of July and 13th September 2018. These matters were also finalized. In terms of government information technology officer, I must just indicate here that we operating with somebody who is acting on the post. We have interviewed for the post. The incumbent will be starting with the assumption of tutor assuming duty from the 1st of December. And just to indicate that in terms of information technology, we are re-engineering the business processes in the department. We are also strengthening our information systems, Luri. We're also doing the same with exams, deploying technology in exams as well, but also including the system that we use to capture data around the institution. We are deploying technology there. In terms of assets and security management, we have transferred assets there, and we've also, because events management is done in assets as well, we've also been able to carry out activities related to 233 events to the value of 23.8 million. Legal and legislative services, I'm sure this will be matters of interest to the committee as well. We've been able to settle the matter that related to the Center for Child Law. This is MEC Social Development. And the outcome of that settlement is that the three departments that are involved, Social Development, Department of Basic Education, Department of Health, will come up with a sector committee. And a steering committee has been established to deal with that task. The South African National Council for the Blind has also been able to settle that matter, and the settlement provided that we carry out an audit to 22 special schools for the blind, and making sure that eventually those schools get textbooks that they require, whether it's in a digital format, whether it's in traditional text, but at the end of the day, those schools must be provided with the requisite materials that they need. I must also add, and I'm sure Dr. Mabuya will just add to that, we've also distributed the braille and border machines to all the special schools, 22 special schools. I can't just remember the number, but if the braille and border machines that we used for Karikude, we've distributed them to all the special schools for use. Equal Education, this is the Minister of Basic Education and others. When we've accepted the outcome of the Constitutional Court, which dismissed our appeal, and the content of our appeal, Chairperson, was that in principle, we agree that we are responsible in terms of school infrastructure, but we are saying we also depend on other departments like the Department of Water and Sanitation for sanitation to do that work, to help us do that work. We also depend on the Department of Public Works to deliver infrastructure because that is their core mandate. And that was the content of our appeal to the Constitutional Court. But eventually, that appeal has been dismissed and we have accepted that appeal. The Bella Bill, we are still processing the public comments, the deadline, at least we now have a deadline, and I know that members of the committee asked me in previous appearances as to when are we going to get done with processing the public comments? We put this deadline of February 2019 to process the public comments. And I also want to bring the committee up to speed in terms of especially regulations pertaining to hostels for special schools. There is a task team which is working on the regulations and to link them to the existing legislation. So this matter is also receiving attention. We are reviewing the admission policy. And the last point is that we are also linking the issue of undocumented learners to our admission policy, because the current form of our admission policy do not make provision for undocumented learners. We are working with the Department of Home Affairs, Mr. Mpanza has been working with the team there, and just to make sure that, because the Human Rights Commission indicated to us that whether the learners have the requisite documents or not, they must be admitted. The risk with that, Chairperson, as we indicated before, you get learners coming through the borders of Mozambique in Mpumalanga for the first 2 to 3 months of the school calendar year just to come and collect stationery and textbooks, because in South Africa they are offered free. The same happens to Free State. The same happens to KZN, learners from Swaziland and so on. So if the policies, our constitutions and our laws do not empower us to prohibit some of these things, that is the risk that we are sitting with. And I thought that I must just also share it with the committee. Strategic planning, these are the activities of the strategic planning function drafted the APP even for 2019-2020. The operational plans, working with branches, the departmental preliminary quarter one performance report was also submitted to DPME and National Treasury, as indicated. The departmental annual report, adjusted estimates for national expenditure, outcome one report, which has been processed as well. And outcome 7, 13, and 14, together with leading departments, were also processed through that planning function. Again, in terms of strategic planning, we also have to look at a quarter one report and the annual performance plan of 18 and 19 of UMAC, analyzed and submitted to finance. And the 2017-2018 UMALUSI annual report, the same applies to SAIS. That's the work that strategic planning has to do. But we also had a meeting with all the 9 provinces, Chair, you recall. The AG complained about the fact that we did not want to include some of the indicators in the APP and so on. So we had that meeting. We've got a follow-up meeting at the HEDCOM workshop, which is coming in December. The AG attended the last meeting before this one. So we are beginning to find each other with the auditors around performance indicators and what we expected to report on. The 2017-18 SBIP annual report was also approved, as indicated there. We also have branch reviews for quarter two. And again, in terms of research and coordination, this is the work that has happened there. Learner transport program evaluation, the general household survey, the EGRS phase two in Mpumalanga, the training of teachers, providing them with the materials there, the EGRS in the Northwest, focusing, of course, in the two districts, Madame Gimulema and Dr. Kenneth Karunda, that is also continuing in the Northwest. And then also the 25-year review has been done through strategic planning, research and coordination, and monitoring and evaluation. Sustainable development goals, chaired the SDG substructure meeting on the 19th of July, school monitoring survey. We now have a report on the school monitoring survey which I've taken. The last school monitoring survey which I think was carried out in 2012, if I'm not mistaken. So we've got a new report which updates that information, which will help us to respond to parliamentary questions, which will help us to respond much more factually and accurately to even questions that are made by the school community. The district capacity building, training service provider, research on socioeconomic policy, for final workshop report and strengthening of the capacity of district managers in rotating evidence-based decision-making and accompanying a cost evaluation report on the benefit. These are the dates and the number of meetings which were held as against those that were scheduled and those that we could not hold. Coming to program two, the program is about curriculum and assessment policy statements, monitoring and support, and implementation. Indicator 2.1.1 up to 2.1.2 have been achieved, Chair, and 2.1.3 is an annual target, and therefore the milestone has become significant. The same applies to 2.1.2.1 up to 2.2.3. The milestones become significant, and continuing in that way to 2.3.1 up to 2.3.3. The same applies there in the annual target. That goes through to up to 2.4.2. And in terms of 2.4.3, that indicator has been achieved, as indicated there. 2.4.4, we achieved in the first quarter, but we have not been able to achieve the intended target in quarter two. And the explanation is provided there, and I'm sure Dr. Mabuya will provide additional information if members require that to be done. 2.4.5 has been achieved, and 2.5.1 we did not achieve in the first quarter, but in terms of the second quarter, number of schools monitored included those that were not even achieved in the first quarter. So we've covered both second and first quarter targets there. 2.5.2 has to do with the rural education policy that has not been approved, as the explanation is provided there. And Dr. Mabuya has given us an assurance that in no time, in the third and the fourth quarter, that gap or underperformance will be covered in the third and the fourth quarter. 2.6.1 has been achieved, and 2.7.1 is an annual target. The same applies to 2.7.2, and the milestones become significant. This is the summary of what has happened under this program, the delivery of work which I've covered already. Math and science, what is significant is that the strategy has now been finalized, the framework has been finalized, maritime science curriculum was gazetted for public comment, and then rural education, 71 schools that are implementing multi-grade toolkit are monitored, and about 750 education assistants have covered this one, which then are in the schools that are indicated in Limpopo, Eastern Cape, and KZN. And the project was launched on the 27th of September 2018. We've also covered that one. In terms of ICT, monitoring and oversight visits to 9 schools in Gauteng and Mpumalanga and KZN. The DBE cloud solution was also finalized. the school connectivity in 104 schools, where schools have been provided with connectivity. Early childhood development, 5,905 EPD practitioners have been trained on a program that is an equivalent of NQF level 4. NQF level 4 is like EPD 12. And of course, as indicated there, 42,000 EPD practitioners were targeted to complete the online training program on play-based learning by the 14th of September. A total of 52,602 has registered and 37,599 have completed the course. The rest would be completed in quarter 3 and quarter 4. A management plan for the implementation of the 2 year of preschool as well as the ones for birth to 4 year old has been finalized. Inclusive education, technical occupational subjects grade 8 and 9 have been targeted for public comment on the 21st of September 2018. Oversight visits were conducted in 2 schools, the province, 18 in total. The targeted number of schools is indicated for learners with severe and profound intellectual disabilities. 156 of the targeted 280 outreach team members were appointed to provide outreach services to 320 care centers and 79 special schools. 241 of the targeted 320 care centers were audited. Progressive rollout of screening, identification, assessment and support policy and curriculum differentiation has reached 82,219 teachers from 22,612 schools and so members of the state, given a special focus on learners with special education needs. It's a great pity Honorable Boshoff is not here. I'm sure she should also be happy to look at the scope that has been covered there in terms of learners with special education needs. The Council of Education Ministers approved the policy on home education for primary education. Further education and training, we carried out activities as indicated there, the Mind the Gap, the data-driven LTSM for the 8 subjects, successful training guides, creative writing, and critical language and awareness study guides. Have indicated that we monitored winter schools, scripted lesson plans which are going to be used during spring classes, particularly for deaf learners. Given the fact that South African Sign Language again is one of those subjects that are written for, that were written for the first time this year. Exemplar question papers and guidelines for business studies and accounting and developed and submitted mid-year evidence-based report, which report was also presented to the committee as part of the State of Readiness for the National Senior Certificate 2018. General education and training band, I've reported on the Kiswahili already, but also the strengthening of the national curriculum and assessment policy statement, particularly section 3 and section 4 of that, which are some of the things which were raised by unions, raised by teachers, that although CAPS has really reduced the administrative burden that teachers are carrying, we had to do something additional to make sure that we reduce the burden of being served. Such a committee meetings, 139 total of provincial subject coordinators who participated in these meetings. Entrepreneurship in schools, Chair, you recall that during the basic education sector quarter, beginning of this year, we launched the sector plan on entrepreneurship, and I think at the right time, we will be ready to come back to the committee and indicate what are we doing to bring in entrepreneurship in our schools, right from the foundation phase up to, you know, retrans. The second chance, the two children, as indicated, 18,200 learners were involved. Guidelines for 11 home languages were developed, facilitated the completion of Mind the Gap in agriculture, science, and business studies. Face-to-face classes were also monitored. Ministerial roadshows to Northwest, to Gauteng, Eastern Cape, Western Cape, Limpopo, and Free were carried out. Data-driven learning and teaching study materials have also been developed and utilized. Resource for deaf learners and piloting them during spring to 5 provinces for implementation in 2019 in preparation for support for learners who did not complete the national senior certificate. And I'm sure honorable members will now be happy that even in the second chance program, learners with special education needs, especially deaf learners, are now going to be catered for. Program 3, the purpose of this program is to promote quality of teaching and institutional performance, and as well as effective supply, development, and recuperation of human resources. Indicator 3.1.1 to 3.1.2 are annual indicators, and therefore the milestones become significant. The same applies to 3.1.3 up to 3.3.3 and goes then up to 3.3.4. 3.4.1 has been achieved. The same applies to 3.4.2. And then 3.5.1 is the annual target, so the same explanation obtained there. We're giving a summary of the performance of that program that we monitored IQLS, Eastern Cape and Free State. PMBS monitoring was conducted in those districts that are indicated there. Whole school evaluation of quarter was held as indicated in the presentation, and capacity building of circuit managers for school self-evaluation and school improvement planning was conducted in the Free State on the 18th and 19th of July 2018. Continuing with the summary of that program, the annual post-provisioning implementation plan have been received. I checked with the other two provinces that we are sending this morning. I have been assured that even those provinces have even distributed school staff establishment to schools. So which means that consultations have been completed in all the 9 provinces, Chair, just to bring an update to that point. But also a total of 3,457 young people and qualified age 30 and below were appointed in post in PEDs, which is 547 permanent and 2,132 temporary, and 775 substitutes on these posts. 80% of Funza Lushaka graduates eligible for placement have been placed by mid-September 2019. Education, labor relations, and conditions of service. The ELRC held its 2018 education in Daba in August 2018. Both employer and employee parties attended the work stream reports on post-provisioning norms and early childhood development didn't bring up when it comes. But in addition to that, the list of the following are the resolutions that have been signed at the level of the PMC. Initial teacher education, a roundtable discussion on teacher induction on the 26th of September, a TAFE and special training session on the modernization of, or on the modernized schools and Lushaka information system. As I indicated, that it forms part of re-engineering our business processes, deploying IT to make it easier and quicker for us to do our work. Education management and governance development, preparations at provincial and district level have been completed for the survey of SGB functionality and availability of management documents during the third term. So this survey will be conducted during the third term. Continuing professional teacher development, well, what has happened here is that the implementation of English First Additional Language Strategy, IFA, the DBE, and the British Council provided training to 110 intermediate phase teachers and 89 senior phase teachers in IFA in Limpopo. LTSM policy development and innovation, implementation of professional development framework for digital learning framework, and the activities that took place there have been sufficiently covered under that. Teacher development implementation, 979 departmental heads for math and science and physical science from 12 underperforming districts were trained on curriculum management. Training provided 450 teachers in accounting and 520 teachers in economics. Curriculum research, reports on teacher development programs conducted teacher centers were submitted, which were conducted at teacher centers were submitted. The teacher assessment protocol was finalized on the 27th of December, and then a preliminary report on the teacher survey was completed. The initial engagement plan with teacher centers was also finalized. Program 4, this program deals with the promotion of quality and effective service delivery in the basic education system through planning, implementation, and assessment. Indicator 4.1.2, an annual indicator, the milestone, the progress column becomes significant. The same applies to these that follow up to 4.3.2, and then the list goes on up to 4.4.1. And then continuing with 4.4.2 and 4.5.1, and then 4.5.2, 4.5.3, and this is the summary of the activities of the program. The systemic evaluation, Chair, we've indicated that we are piloting. A national sample of 100 schools was completed and communicated the program to school for the pilot. Training of provincial coordinators took place at DBE regarding this pilot. Provincial coordinators submitted management plans for the pilot that took place on the 15th and the 18th of October 2018. Test development, preparation for the pilot study within the fourth school term. Test items for the systemic evaluation were finalized and prepared into test booklets, including 9 forms of mathematics and 7 forms of language for grade 3, 6, and grade 6, and 9 language items for 10 tests were quality assured and measures. In terms of national assessment, the key activities there are around the teaching and learning international surveys, and we indicating that trends in international mathematics and science studies preparations have taken off the ground, and the main study will take place in 2019, as indicated there. The sample of schools for grades 5 and 9 were informed, the sample schools were informed of their participation in the national study. In terms of PILS 2016, the Center for Evaluation and Assessment and DBE have initiated work on the secondary analysis of the PILS 2016. So more work is continuing to analyze even the data of PILS. In terms of SACMEC, this meeting took place on the 5th to the 12th of October of the National Research Coordinators, which are based in South Africa. Examination administration, the bulk certification of November exam has been completed by all provinces, and of course the supplementary exam is busy with remarking, checking, and so on, completed in 7 provinces. And again, we are saying bulk certification for supplementary exams was completed in 4 provinces. The senior certificate examination, the exam, has been completed successfully, and the statement of the results issued to candidates. Candidates resulted on the new higher education admission requirements. The chair, you recall that the Minister of Higher Education and Training issued a gazette which indicated that the designated subjects were now discontinued. All subjects were going to be dealt with the same way. And that's what we're talking about. We started addressing that in the senior certificate this year. Remarking and checking of progress on course. Again, examination administration, candidates for multiple exam opportunities who wrote in June were resulted on supplementary exam database and the statement of results were distributed to schools. Registration was completed, CETA completed the system in terms of preparing to now the 700 plus candidates that are writing this year, who will be resulted in terms of the policy that the Minister of Higher Education issued. New technologies, e-metric online, user testing has been conducted, which will be followed by Go Live. Business intelligence system is being used to support data management. Teacher assessment resource for monitoring and improving instruction time system has also been developed. Data management, queries for the National Senior Certificate and assessment data has been processed on an ongoing basis. 3, 6, 9 and 12 quarter 1 data was collected and reported and was produced. And I can even add that even for quarter 2, we have collected that data from schools. Chair, we indicating, I mean sharing some of the projects that we deliver, the modular structures, which don't take 18 months or 12 months to be delivered as your facilities for infrastructure. We're just sharing the pictures there. Physical infrastructure, we are saying a lot of activities took place there. The EIG, Education Infrastructure Allocation for 2018-2019, 9.9 billion has been allocated for that. And therefore, a total of 6.2 billion, which translates to 62
6.5% from the rental land billion allocated for the sector is not transferred to the community. And the remaining two installments of 2.5 billion will be transferred to PEBs on the 16th of November, and lastly 1.2 billion on the 31st of January 2019. The National Education Infrastructure Management System, which is the system that I spoke about earlier on, we are busy with the updating of the data on the system, bringing it up to speed so that we're able to use the data as I indicated earlier on. In terms of our city, inappropriate structures, 100 schools are in construction, with 90 schools in the Eastern Cape province and 10 in Free State in the Cape province. In the same period, 8 schools reached practical completion, bringing the total of completed to 16 of the first quarter and the second quarter. Sanitation, 111 practical completion certificates were received. Water, 111 practical completion certificates were received. The total expenditure for the period ending the end of September is 809,855,466, which represents 55% of the expenditure. It shows that this time around, I think its expenditure is really high. It exceeds even the target of 50% for the year. And I think, Chairperson, that is why National Treasury has allocated 800 million extra, because we're going to finish our allocation before the end of the financial year and being unable to pay contractors when the government is going to be able to do that. But I can assure the committee that there is now money available to pay contractors when invoices are submitted. And that's the message that we're carrying. Just giving the pictures of before and after in terms of these schools, the same applies to this one. Financial and physical planning, information management system, management data uploads on LURIT 2 system has received, as we indicated in the highlight, 11.6 million dollars from 25,100 schools. Management of the school implementation is also the feature of the full implementation and uploading. The performance of the system was stress tested during the quarter. These are some of the things that led to even us being qualified by the auditors in the last audit cycle and the audit cycle before that one. The reliability of data, particularly in terms of warehouses and so on. SASM's advocacy and support, the SASM's help desk fixed 66 database and assisted 571 schools with this. And again, it continues on education management chair. These are the activities that are indicated there. I won't cover all of them. We'll just have to refer to them in case another member. Conditional grant, annual performance evaluation report on conditional grant was approved and submitted to National Treasury on the 31st of July. Quarter one performance report for grants that are indicated here were approved and submitted to National Treasury. Donor funds, technical committee meeting for the teacher assessment resource for monitoring and improving instruction and timing. The project was held and progress report on learners and teacher interaction with item banks of the formative assessment. In other words, in the database that we have created through timing, the teachers can get item assessment items that are ready for use. And learners can also access the database to test themselves through the intervention assessment item. Financial planning and provincial budget monitoring, independent school workshop was conducted. Meeting took place to deal particularly with challenges faced by KZN Chair of providing norms and standard allocations that are below the national norm, to look at what provincial treasury can do to assist the KZN Department of Education with us, and conducted quarter one monitoring meetings. Provincial monitoring, we also providing support to provinces in terms of their audit. And Chair will appreciate, and honorable members, that three provinces improved their audit profiles. Mpumalanga moved from qualified to unqualified, we said moved from qualified to unqualified, and I think Limpopo moved from a disclaimer to qualified. So that is the support that we are providing to provinces as well through this unit. International relations, these are the activities that we have carried out, and these are some of the activities that are indicated and the agreements, cooperation agreements that we have signed. QLTC, QLTC, we started work in Limpopo, in the Eastern Cape, in the Free State, etc. And et cetera. So QLTC is up and running and beginning to be partnerships, we formalized partnerships as indicated in this slide, and I will not go into details and the monetary values and the activities that are contained there. But safe to say that these are some of the activities which involve institutions such as Mancosa, Imperial Kamba, the Nelson Mandela Foundation. These are the activities that are involved. Planning, delivery and oversight, district level planning, on-site visits conducted to Free State, Northern Cape, to monitor and support provinces on the implementation and the development of plans for the amended district policy, which is about the shape and size of districts, convened second management roundtable that resulted in the establishment of a circuit management task team to take on issues of circuit managers. There are issues of circuit managers dating back to 5 and 10 years. We hope that the task team, which has been established by the branch, the branch of security and responsible for, will help us to deal with those issues. The district development plans for 16 out of 18 fundamentals of performance, self-assessment pilot districts produced, non-targeted districts, one province were trained on self-assessment using the fundamentals of performance self-evaluation that can be created. And there were the second quarterly ministers meeting with district directors took place on the 5th and the 6th of July, focusing on enabling the sector to measure the impact of the implementation of plans and interventions. School level planning, continuing at school level, school improvement, support, coordinators, activities took place there involving project managers. By the 30th of July, 9 PEDs have submitted reports to the minister, focused on the processing of the report to the African Human Rights Commission and the National Investigative Hearing into the impact of the protest-related action on the rights to basic education in South Africa. The portfolio committee is well of a with this report, so we are processing this report for approval. 853 schools have been disrupted by community protests from January to August. And Chair, I can say those protests are even continuing now. Provinces had to take grade 12 learners out of the areas that are affected, even this morning, and to take them to facilities where learners will be able to ride themselves. So service delivery protests are going on, and learners are affected. In some areas, like in areas in the northwest, learners have not been going to school for months, and communities have blocked learners from attending school. The same thing that happened to Johnstown and Steve in the Oliphant School is also happening in the northwest, where communities are keeping learners. The call center, there's been lots of activities. The response rate, as you can see, Chair, 99.6%. 7 out of 90 EDs exceeded 90% benchmark, has been exceeded there. The school calendar is very important. Very important. Meetings, the meeting was held on the 23rd of August, and preparing for the school calendar of 2020. Is still, because 2019 is already approved. The school readiness, pre-closure, school readiness assessment, monitoring is planned for the 12th to the 30th November, and targeting particularly underperforming schools. Support has been provided to the ministry, including the office of the DG, moving out, going to provinces, districts, and carrying out. Support is also the DPSE during the visit and Samara Deni combined the school in the country. Schools that work, this is a very important piece of work where we have documented data on variables that inform a performing school. We've moved from Volume 1, if you like, NIDU, led by Mrs. Kloveka, has now produced Volume 2 of that work, which includes documented video materials of what schools are saying, various stakeholders, school governing bodies, school management teams, learners are saying, the reason why we are able to perform at this level is because we do the following. That is been that has been documented, and it's even made available to other schools to use a study on the use of DDE workbooks. I think it will be a matter of interest to the portfolio committee. In the past, the portfolio committee has raised the question and said, food for thought. These workbooks really being put to full use, are you getting value for the money? Is the taxpayer getting value for money? There is the activity taking place. We did conduct an evaluation many years ago, when after we introduced that, it showed me that we are doing work there, and at the right time, we come back and say, this is what we are doing out of this work. District that work study, data is being collected. In other words, out of this data, we'll be able to say, what makes this district to perform? So that underperforming districts will also learn from districts that are performing. In the same way as schools that are underperforming learn from schools that are performing. That is the purpose of that data. And these are the meetings that were carried out by the DG for monitoring and date. And these are just a portfolio of evidence in terms of data. The very last program, but not the least, Chair, it's about developing policies and programs to improve the quality of learning in schools. An indicator 5.1 and 5.1.1 and 5.2 up to 5.2.1. In fact, 5.1.1 has been achieved. The next indicator is an annual target 5.2.1. and 5.2.2 has been achieved. 5.3.1 has also been achieved. And the summary of what has happened, that school nutrition, 54 schools were monitored in 8 provinces, and the names of those provinces are indicated. This represents 92% of the 54 schools serving meals to learners which comply. 92%. In terms of health promotion, 17 out of the targeted 10 schools monitored. 919 educators were trained, 38,285 sets of healthcare standards distributed by provinces, 207,301 learners received health services through the school health promotion program. The national school hygiene program has been implemented in 2,708 primary schools in Gauteng, Free State, and one learners received toothpaste and toothbrushes from soap. Psychosocial support, these are the activities that carried out an interprovincial meeting for psychosocial support was held on 20 September, with a focus on safety and sexual violence against learners. Again, on school safety, 19 districts were monitored on the implementation of the National School Safety Framework. Drafted the disaster risk planning document, 207 schools were trained on the prevention and management of bullying. Social cohesion and gender activities were carried out. Partnerships in education, sports and enrichment in education, reading clubs conducted workshops for helping implementers on the 6th of July at the Mexico Newer School of Leadership Institute, and the following collaborations took place and they are indicated there. And the last part of this presentation is the financials. We are allocated 22,722,000,000. 83% of this budget, which amounts to 18.9 billion, is allocated for transfer payments as indicated below, conditional grants, transfer to public entities, and other transfers. The remainder, which is 7%, is 3.7 billion, which is allocated also in terms of what is indicated there. Compensation of employees, exams, and moderators, examiners and moderators, earmarked funds, office accommodation, specifically and exclusively appropriated amount, departmental operations, departmental projects, as indicated there. The total actual expenditure of the department for 2018-2019 financial year for first quarter amounts to 13.5 billion. So the expenditure amount to 11 billion is made up of transfer payments as indicated before, and therefore the remainder of the expenditure of 1.7 billion is made as indicated before. The allocations against actual expenditure per program is indicated there. Administration slightly below the 50%. Curriculum, which is the lowest so far because of workbooks and the second chance program. But as we have indicated before, workbooks will definitely be paid on time. We have started paying, the actual expenditure will show from the third quarter and the fourth quarter. And overall, we are at 59.8, almost 60% of the expenditure down the road. Mitigatory measures of progress just provide additional information but also indicating areas of underperformance, as I indicated in the books. But if you look at conditional grant, learners with profound and severe intellectual disability grant, as well as math and science grant, we indicating what we are doing there to improve performance. And again, continue with the second chance, just giving an explanation of what we are doing to improve the expenditure. In terms of program three, there are no real issues there in terms of program three. The economic classification, well, compensation of employees indicates a slight underperformance, but as I indicated, we have now appointed a number of SMS members and even middle managers, which we start to push the expenditure. Goods and services is accounted for mainly by, of course, web books, the second chance program, and so on. Interest and rent on land, and overall, of course, the same thing. I have spoken to this explanation that we have provided here, the indicating why we are underperforming, what are we doing to improve. The same applies to this one. And then again, economic classification, drilling down to the same thing. And we just indicating there in terms of transfers, they happened as indicated. Kunda Lushaka will transfer the whole amount. We don't transfer in tranches, so the whole amount has been transferred. We also transfer to the NDT. Foreign transfers will be making in January. That's why, in terms of assets, land, and related activities, the expenditure seems to be low. Conditional grant, the second tranche, or second transfers for the conditional grant were processed as scheduled. And earmark funds, indicating expenditure there. And bearing in mind the explanation that you just provided as to why the low expenditure is underperforming. Transfer to public entities, we indicate the amount that we transfer there. And of course, we provide you the explanation that I have given. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DG, for that presentation. Giving us a picture of some of the things happening up to the second quarter of the year. Maybe DG, before I even open up for members, I wonder how the two departments, that is social development and basic education, you can come up with a clear explanation to the public as to say where are we with this issue of 0 to 4 years old and the issue of growth. I'm saying that because last week also we saw, and I was also flooded with a lot of videos, messages from the sector, the 0 to 4 year old, the crash. The trash teacher position, I'm not sure whether I'm labeling that way, where in various provinces, KZN, they were joining against the Department of Basic Education, saying you are treating them as your stepchildren, as he says, so you don't take them into account. Even arguing when they were on all schools, my friends say, if you say Department of Basic Education, we don't belong to you. That woman was even saying, this is the document that has been signed by of the curriculum that was, you know, and you tend to say there's a lot of confusion that is out there, and at the end of the day, when the department that is to blame, Department of Basic Education. It's as if you don't take care of them. you don't consider them as part of which we know very well. We can be understanding as to say where the process is, but we need to find ways and means to explain to the society, to the public, as to say where progress is, what is happening, what are the developments when it comes to that, because I can assure you it is bending a little bit on the side of the Department of Education, because that is another thing to say when it comes to the child in Department of Education. Can I open up to you, Honourable Members, to engage with the presentation that you have just come to? I'll start with Honourable Chesty. Let me do that. Let me go. Can I start with Gordon? I know it's already late, but can I start with the first one? Come to Honourable Majesty, up to Honourable King. Yes, thank you. We'll just follow each other. Honourable Gordon.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, sir. Just few wishes for myself to be collector for basic education. I see the Director General speaks about the 25-year review report. I think it's important that we get taken into confidence about the key variables which will be used to reflect on. And in particular, you know, what is the benchmark? Are we using MDG, SDG, and the NDP as the key yardsticks? I think it's quite important that we probably need to understand it. And of course, what is the role of your high panel observations, the critical instrument on government work. So I think I see the document indicate that work is being done in the quarter two. But I think probably it's quite important because we would want, of course, to make some input as related to that aspect. Because I think you have indicated in the DG's presentation that you are soliciting inputs from various stakeholders, and I think Parliament is, should be a key one. The second issue, Chair, is just on the, I think I have a bit of a concern about the Funza Lusaka graduate. The fact that out of the number that have graduated, 860 of them has been render unemployed, because the report says they have not been placed. Now, elsewhere in the document, I see there's a bridge being put up to utilize them in temporary placement and relief type of positions. But probably we need to more comprehensively understand that if we have said this is a rare skill, a rare commodity, why 860 of them, as we're speaking, it's not placed. So if they are not placed, it means they are part of the unemployed masses. And then, Chair, the third issue is the assessment tool, the international assessment tool, which creates, obviously, generates a very important discussion. But the department is not mentioning the work done as it relates to your systematic education model, which is a new intervention or new measurement tool. What would be the relationship with your existing tests? And as the, because the last document that I have perused, Chair, indicated they are still soliciting which is the appropriate institution or agency internationally that they would partner with. I mean, if I must ask the DG, you would say the Brookings Institute there. I'm trying to understand that if we came to some conclusion of the work. And then I think lastly, Chair, the just my observation, I think just on the overall target, you know, I think the target demonstrates the type of attitude that we're having from basic education. It's quite exemplary that one of the departments that receive the utmost confidence in terms of the vote of Parliament, it's producing high performance targets, because what we must measure them is on the basis of what they have actually set up in the APPN. I think I would want to comment in that I think there's a fair amount of forward movement in basic education too. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the Department for the presentation. I just have a few questions. My first question is the issue of contractors that were paid. I'm sorry that I arrived a little bit late, so I might have missed the response from the Department. I particularly want to ask, because I think we have seen on the yearly report that Basista talks about paying of invoices within 30 days. And from that report, I don't recall the department lacking, but yet we are seeing this. So I'm very much concerned, because now it actually brings the issue of, are we getting accurate information at the committee, or the information really is inaccurate? And if you could actually maybe be given a breakdown of the contractors that haven't been paid and get a true reflection, because if the our year report shows anything different from what we've seen, it's very, very alarming. And this is not only with contractors, it also goes with our LTSM. You go to schools, you find piles and piles of textbooks that haven't been allocated. Some of them, they are brand new. They haven't been given to learners purely because of the centralized system. Because what you find out, what we're finding out is that the contractor, whoever has been contracted to provide LTSM using the centralized system, they will bring textbooks, but they will bring wrong textbooks, and then they'll say, "I will come back and get and provide these proper textbooks," and they're gone. They never come back to come and get those textbooks. And I just want to find out who is responsible. We have LTSM coordinators who are at the deputy director level. What are they doing to ensure that the schools, they receive accurate textbooks, and also those ones that have received wrong textbooks, that those textbooks are returned? What is it that they do? Why is it that they're not held accountable? I'm sitting here, I'm listening to DG saying that there are some textbooks that need to be delivered. Is it for this year or is it for next year? Because really, if it's for this year, it's very disappointing that the learners are writing exams as we are talking now, and yet they haven't received their textbooks. So what are the coordinators doing? Is it possible that maybe they can come and account to us at the beginning of the year to say, we have gone, because this is the textbooks, they are actually properties of the government, and they need to be audited. Who's auditing those textbooks to ensure that the learners, they bring them the textbooks back, and also they receive the textbooks that they are supposed to receive? And also the issue of the school that we saw that learners are sitting going to a toilet outside. We need to be able to see that the implementing agents, they come in account to a committee chair. Because this is going on for a very long time, and every time the department comes and says, we are doing well when it comes to infrastructure, but the picture on the ground is totally different. I've been to a school in the Eastern Cape in East London that was also not part of the RCD. It was not in the record of RCD. That school, the children was literally grade one learners were working outside of the school's premises, going to the toilet that didn't even have doors. and those are B12. So I think we need to have a session whereby the implementing agents, they come here and account to the committee. And also, I'm also sitting with the issue of Koffiefontein, whereby the learners are not writing exams. The Department of Education, the Free State, they've made provision for the matriculants to go and write in a different venue. But the other learners are not writing exams at all. I just want to make you aware of that. And the community has been asking several times that, you know, they sit with the government, you know, because they had issues that they knew that the government to deal with. And now they've been forced, they feel like they've been forced now to have a total shutdown. And that is also affecting the learners. That is the entire Koffiefontein is having a shutdown. Thank you, Chair.
But anyway, I know that it was very busy. There were so many things on the plate once I was born. Thank you to Justin. And maybe to also thank the DG for the presentation. And we appreciate the effort to make sure that, you know, every time there is improvement on the expenditure and the performance of the department. The one part that I like is that three of the provinces are, you know, gradually moving forward, and then hopefully it will improve on the outcomes, the audit outcomes and the performance outcomes, like when you sit down with school. So we want to encourage the department to continue what we are doing. I don't know what it is that you are doing. Maybe you can share it with us so that we understand. And we want to encourage you to maintain that thing. But it must not be something of a preparation for the presentation. Particularly like the Limpopo part, you know, it was so, we are so happy that Limpopo is moving because we know how it impacts the overall performance of most of the reports. I also like the fact that there has been a test, a research study that you made with regard to the issue of teacher development. Maybe if you can share with us what are the issues that were lessons learned from that study? Is it completed yet? And then was it done by the department or it was done by the teacher centers themselves to assess the need for the teacher? Also, I noted that there is some of the areas that were in the past few years, there was a lot of underperformance on. There's been overachievement, particularly the issues of the diagnostic path, you know. We saw mathematics rising with 5,000, you know, enrollments are increasing. We want to know what is happening, why that sudden increase, what is it that you did to make sure that there is a change, and we are happy about it as well. But we want to see that happening also, the enrollment in accounting and physics. There must be something that is done. Why are they not taking up the issues, you know, this thing very seriously? And then maybe if the department can tell us what are the means that you have put in place to make sure that you really prioritize this area of performance, because like really we can't be having that problem, especially with the critical and gas subjects that move in here. Chairperson, the issue of the annual targets comes up again. You look at the report. I think program, service program 4 and a little bit of 5 has got a lot of indicators. So I want to check, like I know we adopted the report, the APP, when it was brought to the. But I think the Chairperson also as a committee was looking into that because most of the targets are becoming more annual. They are becoming more annual. And then when you look at the milestones, the reporting, they are lacking. Of course, at the departmental level, you might have a situation where information is available, but it's not sufficiently communicated for us. But it is becoming worrisome. Is this a new trend that we are going to end up with a lot of annual targets? And then my worry to person is that if those targets, they get diminished, the performance, you know, and the monitoring, the oversight that you are supposed to be is diminished because we don't see the reflection of the performance within the report. It might end up impacting on the overall at the end, and we might have to catch the train once it's already, you know, on speed. That's the point that I thought I would raise. And then I have noted the issue of the 21% underperformance, the overall one. I think the DG did talk to it when we were doing the presentation. And then we look at program 2. In program 2, there are 3 targets, and maybe they can be highlighted to me where there has been underachievement, and I want to know why. Because, for instance, Chairperson, this is the core of the department. And then when we talk about the infrastructure, we always get the department, they tell us that it's not our main business. Our main business is education, we do agree. And then here we don't read about the bush. We want to see a radical improvement, Chairperson. Why is the targets that are not really, there's no movement on them? Why is there underachievement on these targets? What are the measures to turn around the situation? Thank you, Chairperson. No, maybe lastly, Chairperson, on the issue of the, I don't know what the DG said in terms of the money that they got to from Treasury. The one that you said now you have got money for to pay the new resources. I just wanted to check, like, because as a, you know, I don't know whether it was a new edition, is it going to be part of the budget that we still have to monitor, or how are you going to account for it, or just by reporting like this, it has already been factored into the overall financial report? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I don't have much but clarification question only. Slide number 29, 2.4.3, number of mathematics training educators monitored, particularly how many mathematics educators were trained. And then again, slide number 30, 2.4.5, number of school visitors for monitoring implementation in technical schools. Has the monitoring been done per provinces? If yes, which provinces? And then maybe the slide number 31, 2.5.2, rural education policy not yet finalized. Any time frame as to how soon will it be finalized? Thank you.
Thank you, DG, for the presentation. It's really clear and exciting. colleagues taken most of the questions, and that's why we have two posts. I also wanted to align my question with the former colleague who said, actually, you said there are so many books, workbooks, volume one, in percentage 99.41. Now my problem is that how many schools is this 1%, 1.59% that have not yet listed their books? Because my worry is this, maybe the schools that we visit are these that falls on the 1.59%. And why are those schools excluded from the 99.41? On this program one, there's a point of bullying that you said you have trained about 207 schools. Out of how many schools? Because this really is a dangerous exercise that is happening in school. There's a child who has committed suicide because has been bullied for all the years, and teachers couldn't solve the problem, although they were aware that this child is being bullied than others. The bully, I'm not speaking about one, it's just a poison that is exposed. How speedy can we exercise this training that at least all the schools should be able to be trained on this? As Honorable Mokoto has mentioned, the delivering on the program two, which is our core function, it worries further when you go down to program five and you notice that the very core program of curriculum and monitoring that is so important for us, the under expenditure, which is 38%, and coming down to earmarked funds, the earmarked funds that are so important for us to cover the problems that we have at school, is also under and projected 1%. Do you think you will be able that within the last two quarters that are left be able to reach your 100%, or do you have a hope to improve on this 50% expenditure that we have not yet? When you started to present, I don't remember the slide, you spoke about hostels and the hostels for special schools. My point will be on hostels in general. I learned that the schools who are hosting hostels are suffering in their allocation. They must ask donations to top up because the allocation is only for the needs of the child, which is 1,500 per learner, per quarter. And in our days, it's really 1,500 per learner, per quarter. That means that child is about 500. And what about maintenance of the hospital? Day-to-day maintenance in the hostels. They say they don't get allocations. That's why hostels are so dilapidated. That's why I thought that I want to know, can't we improve this allocation? It's where the learners who are boarding, those learners who are from rural areas and from farm areas who are boarding with private landlords. Those learners at the end they become lazy or they are exposed to an abuse where they because they have to top up the 75,000 that they get per quarter. That means those learners should eat about 250 rand per quarter. So this allocation, I feel, is really an insult to our country improve, or does it differ from province to province? I tend to check that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to everyone. And I want to also thank that the voice of the DG never faded. It sustained the lengthy presentation. Chairperson, I want to start by commending when good things are happening. Here I'm referring to the report where in 30 days is being implemented. We commend that. However, I want to speak to this as to those that are underperforming with regard to payment, because I did not know that there are huge penalties like the one that is reported in his opening, that the certain 75% as a penalty paid for late payments or whatever if you did not perform well with regard to the service provider is concerned. And I want to plead, Chairperson, that we need to, at all costs, avoid such waste and to check as to what type of sanctions are to those that are not performing. Do we sometimes even want to recover the money, even if it is the DG? I think that we need to religiously deal with these issues of wasteful, you know, just pay for nothing. It's very serious. Thanks on that. The other issue, Chairperson, I wanted to talk to slide 20. I wanted clarity with regard to the undocumented learners. It has been reported that there will be amendments made. I wanted to check as to what really is to be amended there and who will benefit out of such amendments. Slide 13. I need clarity, Chairperson, with regard to the reason for underperformance here, the delays and the unforeseen circumstances. I think with regard to the service level agreement and those things. And the last one is in slide 62, page 31. With regard to 99% schools provided with sanitation, water and electricity. Clarity also is needed with regard to, is this 99% referring to all schools in the country or the targeted one? Thank you very much.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the presentation. My first question is around the circuit managers, which was reported that there is an issue which still relates back to 10 years ago. I just wanted to get clarity why this issue wasn't dealt with earlier and why it was so prolonged. Then the Department of Basic Education workbooks. Coming from the teaching background just recently, those workbooks is a waste of time. I'm specifically saying that because as a math teacher myself, I had to correct the content of the books itself. The answers was wrong. So I just need to find out who actually evaluates to see whoever the authors who put in those things, that it's actually corrected. It's embarrassing if you give something to the learner and you work out the answer and you realize, oh my goodness, the example answer is wrong. This person doesn't even know how to do simple mathematics. And yet they expect our learners to do it. The third one, you mentioned the hotspots in your program 5, the hotspot schools. That from 12 you've moved to 19 in the districts, which is actually very good, and I must commend you that you could add on to that. However, I just want to know, is the 19 a realistic target to evaluate those districts on hotspots, and which provinces are being evaluated with regards to hotspot schools? Then also it was mentioned that KwaZulu-Natal Department of Education was under actually devalued their norms and standards. That's scary. It probably tells us why KZN is really underperforming in every aspect. Because every time a presentation is made, you would hear KZN, KZN is underperforming. So I just need to find out. We have the NEC. Why didn't we take the NEC on of education in KZN regarding this? Somebody needs to be held accountable. You can't underperform according to national norms and act as if nothing was wrong. Something had to be done on this. Then 13,702 FUNSA bursaries was given. I really am glad about that. Only problem is, when you look at the cohort of the new teachers coming in, I'm a bit worried because most of them will tell you, I've got English as a major. Is the structuring of FUNSA in such a manner that we can say so many must apply to go into science field, into the commerce field, or if it's just a generalized application, people come in, because then it is worrying for the country, because we'll find teachers that will be coming and teaching our new learners math, and yet they've learned, they were taught the majors was English or agricultural studies, you know, and that scares me about the new code that is coming in. Then coding is also mentioned as one of the new programs that's coming in into schools, and I really commend the department on that. I've got nothing bad to say about it. It's just that I'm glad that it was there. It's just sad that it was not presented in your presentation. I would have loved to have found out how far are we with regards to the coding and to bring it into our schools in that regard. For that, I must say thank you once again for the presentation.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Can I also add one thing that we share with you? Honourable Member, to raise this issue. Because I think at the end of the day, we need to make an understanding as to say, are we getting the value for money when it comes to the funds that we share with you? For me, as Honourable Professor, not Honourable King, just raising, if ever we have got such a number of high number of funds that are not placed, it means they're not needed in the system. If ever we are sticking to the fact that funds reserved by the bursary is for scarce skills, if you go out now, you find that there are schools without math and science teachers, but we still pump so much money. So the issue of value for money, really, it's not for the first time that the committee will raise this, as to say, are we closely monitoring the funding share of other rents? Whom are we giving the money to? So that review, or that revisit needs to be done, really, it cannot, we cannot afford to spend so much money on what is not of value to to the system, to the sector. How is the uptake, BG, of homeschooling? Now and again, I know it's even now coming with the policy. Are you observing a rise on that? And for me, it should not be just observing that so many parents are opting for this. Even then, we can even talk to the reasons why are we, if ever it's growing, why? Maybe according to your stage at the department, because I think those are the things that you need to look at. On program two, you talk of 15 packages of offline digital content. And yes, we have achieved on that one. But maybe I'm not sure, I will ask for myself here, even not for the committee, because maybe some members understand what we're talking about, what is this offline digital content. And your target has been 15, it has already been achieved. I don't even have an idea, really, what is it that you're talking about when you talk of that. When a non-official language is being declared to get into the curriculum, what informs that? We have got about 18 of them. And I can assure you, as the popular committee, we have done very little even to monitor what is happening at schools, even which schools are taking up those languages, and what even informs the department to make sure that one of those languages gets into the curriculum. Like, it's what we would have just got in, Mandarin has just got in 2 or 3 years ago, French or whatever. So you can just clarify to us what happens to that one. Digi, on last week's presentation, when it comes to the issues of water consumption and electricity, CFO will even remember, it was one of the questions which we asked, because it was as if we even asked to say, CFO, are we saying to the TA, are you saying as a department to us, you are done with electrification in schools? There was no target. It was as if they 100% completion when it comes to the issue of electricity or schools. But then we requested the CFO to go back and do the homework around that issue when it comes to the issue of electricity. I hope today we are going to be clarified as to say what is happening, where are we when it comes to the issue of electricity at school. Did you, when we compare quarter one and quarter two, and on your achievement when it comes to the schools that you have completed, in quarter one, I can see now it's 8 as per the report. But if we can all go back to the first quarter report, you reported that 3 were completed, 5 were at the level of partially completion. But now, looking at the report that you are coming up with, you are saying you completed 8 first quarter and 8 now. For me, if I can ask the realist to say, where are you as the department, I can't say. Because I don't understand these 8, the 2 8s they're talking about, whether these 8 for the second quarter cover, you know, if you can clarify that. But that is the report that you got first quarter, and now we're getting this one. Because we're tracking it down to say, come quarter four, what is it that you're reporting? So it's a little bit confusing the way that we have reported on what we have done and what we have completed. On water and sanitation, a total of 111 schools have been completed. Again, 34 in quarter one, 77 in quarter two, as per the report that you are getting. It's a very good progress, and I think everyone, we are happy about that. But then I'm afraid again, DG, your quarterly, your annual target is 286 for sanitation and 325 for water. And but now we are standing at 111 second water. Your progress, can you say moving towards the end of your financial year, are we going to be able to reach the target? Or are we saying these numbers, yes, recognizing that it's a great improvement from what has been happening in the previous years, but are we saying we are on the right steps towards achieving your target? My very last one is not even part of the presentation today. DG, where are you with the salary negotiations? Are we not talking anything about it this year? Are we done? Because that's the one area that we are ever concerned that can solve, you know, the instability in the world. So where are you with the union? Can I then hand over to you to respond to the question?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. The team is here, they will help me to have a full complement of the team. Chair, let me start with the questions that you raised. My understanding is that the last one, salary negotiations, we just concluded salary negotiations early this year. And my understanding is that it's a multi-year agreement. The 3 year agreement. She was supposed to be here, that's why I'm speaking to the Minister. So it's 3 years. The only small complaint that might come to your attention is that in addition to improving conditions of service, you remember that there was an issue of 0.5. The 0.5 became part of the agreement. Now, what has happened is that we had worked out a formula through which 0.5 would be paid DBE. And when we just started to implement 0.5, then Treasury and DBSA came and said, look, there are concerns around the way we've worked out the formula. And I think it's something that requires, you know, a dedicated discussion and explanation from people like Ms. Gaya, who will show you, like for instance, in a notch, you'll have, they called it slicing, you know, the what is in between one notch from to another notch, so that eventually nobody is compromised, but you'll still be able to pay 0.5. Now, DBSA, Department of Public Service and Administration, and National Treasury raised concerns. So we've been able to pay 0.2, that is outstanding is 0.3. SATU wrote a letter to us 2 days ago saying their concern that teachers will go even to the end of the school calendar year without having received 0.3. 0.3 might appear to be small, but to a teacher, it's a lot of money. Teacher who's struggling and so on, it's a lot of money. So I'm just raising it because it might come to your table. We are working with DPSA and National Treasury. From our side, we have done everything that we needed to do. Now, DBSA is saying to us, this is our test, it's our baby. We can't conclude without giving you a final stamp. So we're waiting for the final stamp from the Department of Public Service and Administration and National Treasury. But the money is there to pay 0.5 plus the general condition improvement of conditions of service. So in terms of salary negotiations, I can say
you can have a comfortable sleep, because we do, except for the 0.3, which is still absent. Water and sanitation, annual targets versus progress. Mr. Mapuku will explain as to you are right, Chair, we're doing far better than what we used to do before. But whether we'll be able, and remember how this target came to be 200, 300, we explained in the past that when we failed to meet targets of the first year, you would add them to the second year. You failed even to meet the first and the second year, you add them to the third year. So they have a cumulative effect. And that's why we are sitting with very big targets there that you mentioned. And the incoherence or incompatibility of our figures of the second quarter and the first quarter, I think Mr. Mapuku will help. I know that you've got a photographic memory. You won't just say it unless if you've seen it. You know, you won't just say it without having seen it from a document or some presentation. I think we'll have to clarify that. It might be that by the end of the first quarter, the aid were not completely, how can I put it? They were not fully complete, something of that nature. They were not fully complete, but I think it's best place to explain that. No target for electricity, I think it's electricity and water. In the present, electricity only. I think the explanation that I got was that schools that were part of a siege, which had to be electrified, we had covered and exceeded that now. That's why we don't have a target in the presentation that they made. But he can also just add on to it. What informs a non-official language to find expression in the national curriculum is the identified need. For instance, the French identified that because of companies that have their origin in France, many of the families moved with those companies to South Africa, and they would want those families to continue to benefit from the teaching of French. Then they requested for it. Or they would even say, South Africans who are working in our company, we want them to find it easy to communicate with companies of mother countries. Can you offer this language? You get such information. That is for French. The same applies for Chinese Mandarin. Kiswahili. I mean, most African countries have been offering Kiswahili. I mean, in Kenya, it's in that way, but yes. So the view was that one language that can confirm that we are African in terms of communication and social cohesion is Kiswahili. If you don't speak English and speak an African language, at least Kiswahili will give you that mobility and that utility and communication. That is the motivation behind Kiswahili. In fact, many people are saying it's long overdue. I was pleasantly surprised by the uptake. I think as soon as CEM approved, provinces quickly said we are prepared to pilot. And if I'm not mistaken, it's about 8 or 10 schools already that have indicated their readiness to pilot in Kiswahili.
That I think even we can even pilot here each week with us here in the because remember with Mandarin is just the period that we are in, we talked about it. They are ready to come and pilot into the classes of Mandarin only the time and space time that we can get to the election. When we come back, that one starting from the level of the portfolio committee, we are ready for it. So I think even Swahili, we must do that so that we can form part of the pilot.
Yeah, I see Dr. Maboya writing feverishly, which means that she will organize and work with the No, we are pleasantly surprised by the warm welcome of Kiswahili by the portfolio committee members. I think it's long overdue. uptake of home education. The uptake is not that big, and Dr. Maboya can confirm this. A slight increase is in Gauteng. And home education is generally a phenomenon of the affluent and the rich people who travel a lot, who would want their children to be with them as they move and sail and so on and fly. Because those children are unable to be at a school and fulfill a school calendar, then home education can be arranged. It is also a phenomenon of people who use it for ideological choices. Ideological choices, who believe that if public schooling does not really expose their children to things that they believe in, many a time it becomes an option for created by a medical condition. If a child is unable to move and so on, have to be confined at home, it's another option that we could have as home education. But generally, it's a phenomenon of rich people who can afford. But it's not a school. You don't even call them schools. Call them, that's why we're referring to home education, not home schools. Because some of them start as a family, and then Mwili would invite Mpanza and the other family comes. It's no longer a home education of one family. Mm. It becomes a group of people working together, and it ends up being a school. Mm. And it's illegal to operate something of that nature. Our policies and regulations do not allow. Chair, we take your advice. I think strengthening our communication around 0 to 4 year olds, it's long overdue. Even arranging meetings with the relevant stakeholders so that we allay fears, we keep them abreast of every step of the way that we are traveling. So we take your advice, we definitely put together a communication plan. I've seen Troy, but also working with the line function of the town lawyer, we put together a communication strategy. Value for money for Funza Mshaka. You know, when it started, there were problems. For instance, people would say we are going to do math and science. Somewhere along the program, people would change the mobile. Now, the reason why we put in even ICT for deployment, technology, is to make sure we monitor. If you said you enroll for this subject, you have to enroll in those subjects, monitor you, first year, second year, until you finish, you keep to do something. And one of the criteria to qualify for Funza Mshaka is African languages. There's been a request for Africans because of the need for Africans teachers. But African language, you can take English, but alongside English, it's got to be either Isiswati, Sindebele, Isizulu, Setswana or Sepedi, because we have started to experience chronic shortages around those subjects. But of course, math and science is still in the forefront. I also take your concern that you have people who have graduated, who are not placed, but Chair, remember where we're coming from. The placement rate used to be around 30% and 50%. I'm not saying we are right by 80 something. It should be 100%. Because taxpayers pay for the training of this teacher. And Honorable Gutierrez is right. When they are sitting at home,
I mean, government, it's the taxpayers' money that's sitting at home, that's been unemployed. So I think we are working with provinces to improve that. We can only do better, I think, going forward. And the 25-year review report, I think Mrs. Nozipo can help me. My sense was that we have given a framework of government from which we had to populate activities for the 25 years of the of the life of government. I can't recall off my head, and she'll help us of the specifics. But for instance, in terms of the framework, what were the specific things that we needed to get in there? But I don't think it's late to solicit input of the honorable members. We've got a draft report, which we are also going to present to the retreat of the department tomorrow and the day after. So we can forward it to your office chair to look at it, and then members can make input into that 25-year report. The issue of Funza Lushaka, I agree with you, Honorable Goethe's systemic evaluation. Mr. Mpanza is here, I'm not sure whether there are people from SMS. Unlike, in fact, somebody reminded me that we must be careful in saying that systemic evaluation replaces honor. Because in the full dictionary meaning, that's not that, even in operation. Systemic evaluation has got three important things that it looks at. It's learner performance, it's contextual factors, socioeconomic factors, and support. ANA did not look at this. ANA mainly looked at learner performance. And some experts are saying it's bound to be one of the best in the world if it's implemented correctly. Because it will give you data on the socioeconomic factors, it will give you data on learner performance, it will also give you data on the level of performance or of support that schools are getting from this. It will get us to do this is what they were designed to do. So that's how I would interpret the question of the links with existing. We've got two elements that are completely new to your defense. Not really completely new. I think Ms. Stewart and others would remember that. I'm not sure whether it was systemic assessment or systemic evaluation before. Looked at contextual factors as well. Maybe the new aspect is this. Honorable Machesi, well, indeed, Honorable Machesi, I did explain the issue of the payment of the contractor in question. We have put together a report which will be made available to all members to show what we have done with the contractor who complained about payment. That contractor was paid in 2016. And the money that the contractor wanted to be paid for delays which were occasioned by taking projects from one implementing agent to the other, we've also paid that at the value of 75,000, which is fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And Honorable Kosa, the PFMA says, actually, if Mweli has caused that money must be recovered from Mweli. Now, I don't know how we're going to deal with this because we are saying moving projects from one implementing agent to the other has occasioned the delay. Are we going to say we then charge the implementing agent that failed to deliver to pay the 75,000 of fruitless and wasteful expenditure? If it was an employee in the department, I would say, no, I know it goes to Mr. Mahfouz. But now the explanation says the delay has been occasioned by moving projects, which you know about. We have reported to you a number of projects we have removed from IDT, which is an entity of government, by the way. And truth be told, if I would have my way, IDT would be one of the implementing agents that would not allocate a single project. because they are underperforming. They've been underperforming throughout. And I'm happy that Honorable Machisi is saying, why don't we bring them here as well? I think it would be wonderful to consider even bringing implementing agents so that we come and fry together here in this pair. And I told them in meeting with them, I said, how I wish one day you could accompany me, because you don't seem to get it when I tell you that you have to move and deliver on this project. And it's difficult to say, I'm not going to give project to an entity of government, because public works will come and say, you can't do this. This is the entity of, this is the only entity of government you are not allocating projects, mm-hmm. although they are not performing.
Then, DG, your response is saying to us that the public entity, the only contractors that have not been paid in time, that have exceeded 30 days, are only those who were among the work that has been taken from IDP to other implementing agencies. Otherwise, we are getting a report to say, normally, you are always on time when it comes to payment. We don't experience that wasteful and process expenditure by the delay that has been taken. Is that what you're asking for?
Yeah, Chair, let's give you a list of where the delays happened. You remember, I also reported to the committee that we had a cash flow problem. I can't remember when we presented the first quarterly report. I said we had a cash flow problem because projects that spill over to this financial year were taking so much cash flow to the extent that it didn't have enough. We had to even write to Treasury and say, can you bring forward the cash flow for months that lie ahead, which they have done. And they've also now given us the 800 million which is going to fill the gap of the cash flow that we brought forward. So my humble request is that let's give you a list of the projects where we're unable to pay within 30 days. I don't have the end reasons. We'll give you the reasons. I don't want to mislead you and say those are the only companies. Let's give you the list and we'll draw it even from personal and show you. These are the projects, what will the reasons. Honorable Machesi, the wrong delivery of textbooks, you do find it, but remember, Honorable Machesi, textbooks are also procured, in fact they are exclusively procured from equitable share, which is money that's with provinces, not DBE. But you do have wrong deliveries that happen. But there is very incentive procurement, Honorable. We have demonstrated in the past that a textbook worth 500 rand, we've been able to buy it at 50 rand because of maximum benefit of economies of scale. The taxpayer is able to get more if you buy as a bulk than individual schools going to buy. And schools are unhappy about that, because it has deprived them the authority to go and negotiate with publishers and even get benefits, which many of you would know, of getting, you know, whatever from publishers. They don't get that anymore. I think it's a legitimate unhappiness or displeasure, if you like. But we get more if we buy as a matter. We must buy the right textbooks. Shouldn't lead to wrong textbooks being delivered. Delivery of workbooks. I explained that we have finished volume 1, which is going to be used in 2019, the first 6 months of 2019. We are now busy with volume 2. By the end of this year, we'd have delivered volume 1 and 2. For 2019. We are not talking about 2018. Even for textbooks and stationery now, it's for 2019. We are working on what is going to be used for 2019. And Honorable Basson, I'm not sure whether Dr. Maboya has got the actual figure of the difference of the percentage? I'm still responding. I was just, it's a related question around what is the actual number of the schools and books which around the 1%. So we need to get that 1%. And then the what are the LTSM coordinators doing? I think it's a legitimate question. We need to push them to deliver more in terms of monitoring. We have LTSM coordinators in all the 9 provinces. Every province has got a coordinator paid and appointed by the DDE or seconded to DDE from the province. And I think I take your concern that we need to push them more and get more of our pound of flesh program. The open toilet, I also gave an explanation and we were providing a report around the open toilet, and your concerns are well placed. I also indicated that we need to do something so that we don't get surprised with the public when these things crop up. We should be the first ones to know as to what is happening. We are providing a report, we are even going to provide a follow-up report on the matter. Thank you about the issue of the Kofi Fontein. I've been totally oblivious of it. I don't know about Ms. Jobek, but there hasn't been schooling in Kofi Fontein. So we'll follow that up and just see what we can do to make the problem. Honorable Mokoto, yes, indeed, the improvement of the 3 provinces. Honorable Jim, my humble submission is that there are challenges in KZN, there are bad and good things happening, but remember that in 2017, KZN improved the grade 12 results by 6.4%, which is the highest of all the 9 provinces, and contributing 25% to Helena, total number of Helena. But I accept that there are challenges now. My concern is that these challenges might actually militate against KZN giving us the same performance as last year. That's my concern. And I would agree with you on that. Honorable Mokoto, the assessment needs of the teachers, Mr. Labutati will respond to that. The self-diagnostic assessment, an increase in math and so on. Remember we said, I'm happy that the Auditor General eventually accepted this as well. When we couldn't get as many teachers as we had expected to participate in the self-diagnostic tool, we then said we will use the assessment that is done for pre- and post-test. The AG accepted that, and Mr. Rabotati can just confirm. I suspect that the increase is attributable to that. But you are right to say we need to see the same then with physical science and accounting. And I'm sure Mr. Rabotati can maybe explain that. Annual targets. An increase in annual targets. I accept your concerns and the respect to Honorable Mokoto. But remember that we are designed for an academic year. Our targets in the main are annual. But where I agree with you in is that maybe our milestones are not as adequate as to give you an assurance that we are well on course in meeting the annual. And there I fully agree with you. We need to work on our milestones to give that assurance. In fact, you are the ones who advise us that come up with milestones for your annual target. So we need to strengthen them. And my view is that they are not strong enough. And we can strengthen them to give that assurance. To say, you know, towards the year we are 40 or 60% towards the year, like the chair indicated. For water, we are around 100, but our target is around 300. Program 2, 3 targets that are underperforming, I'll leave it for Dr. Mabuya. I tried to explain during the course of my presentation, but I'm sure Dr. Mugwera will help me to explain this. I might have been extremely inarticulate and therefore have not made my point adequate. The 800 million is to fill the gap of the cash flow that was brought forward. Yeah, it was brought forward, to be used much quicker than expected. So it's going to fill that gap, as I explained. And then, Honourable Nyeso is not here, but I'm sure colleagues will respond to slide 29, 30, and 31. Honorable Basson, I've said to Tamagoya will help us. Either we'll give you the information now, or we can forward it to you later with the actual numbers. Bullying, we've just targeted the number of schools that we could afford. Many schools are needy, and the number does not in any way represent anything close to meeting all the schools that are in need. So I must concede in that respect. But I must also add, Chair, as we have said before, violence, bullying as a form of violence, we should remember that it's also a microcosm of civil society. Families must contribute to help us to deal with violence. Communities broadly must help us to contribute in dealing with violence. I don't want to mention Parliament because I was wrapped around the knuckles last time when I mentioned even Parliament, so I will leave Parliament here and not include Parliament. And then under expenditure, how quick can training cover all schools? That indicated we have limitations of capacity. We're only able to deal with a few and we just prioritize. Under expenditure in program 2, Dr. Mugwera will respond to that. When can we reach 100%? Are we able to reach it in quarter 3 and quarter 4 relates to the same target of program 2? I'm sure Dr. Mugwera, she's been able to give a very good explanation, she'll be able to deal with that. Schools with hostels are struggling. Maybe what I would request, Honorable Basson, can you allow me to table this at our meetings with her? And then we see how we can do it. And I'm not even sure that there's a uniform formula of funding for school hostels. I still need to kind of establish that and come back to you. I'll definitely do that. Honorable Khosa, I've spoken about what the TFMA says about fruitless and, wasteful expenditure in particular. We do recover money, but I've indicated our difficulties around this. And we've even reported on what we've been able to recover. This is from fruitless, wasteful expenditure previously in the financial years. We are commended actually at SCOPA. That is one of the highest amounts that departments were able to recover. Undocumented learners, the amendment, who will benefit? I'm afraid it's going to be undocumented learners. South Africans and non-South Africans. That's what is going to happen, unfortunately. And then Dr. Mugwera will again respond to slide 30 and 31. Honorable Khosa. And then Honorable King, I'm done here. Honorable King, the issues that are outstanding for circuit managers, and if you can just add to that. There's been a complaint by circuit managers that others are appointed at the equivalent chief education specialist, others are appointed as the deputy chief education specialist. But the resolution on occupation-specific dispensation provided for that, that the system could choose either a different CS level or a DCS level. Now, there's a complaint from many of them that has created disparity because in some provinces, in some areas, they are at this level, in others, they are at this level. That is just one issue of a complaint coming back from a couple of years ago, as an example. And I'm sure Ms. Jorica can add in terms of what is going to form part of the issues that they need to deal with. And I hope it will help to bring uniformity in the system. Incorrect content of the workbook, we've been able to feed this back to the system. There are instances, and I've accepted, where the content is completely incorrect. In fact, in languages, people would say the standard language doesn't even use this, it's a dialect. You're using a dialect, not a standard language. We've used our curriculum specialists in the system at provincial level and at the DBE level to correct those things. And we'll be more than happy if we can get what we have found from this work which we have to correct. And then Dr. Kumani will respond to the issue of whether 19 is realistic in terms of the hotspot schools, which is part of what the social cohesion branch needed to do. It's part of the plan. And then I've responded to the performance of KZN, Funza Lushaka brothers having English. How far are we with Kobe in terms of their resources? Maybe we could start with the Dr. Mbola and then follow the Q&A and the colleagues.
Questions that have been raised that DC did not cover. The first one being under extension, under achievement in performance indicators under program 2. So that would be the first one being performance indicator 2.4.4. which relates to the training session that has been monitored in terms of the technical subject. So in this regard, because of the new introduction of the new curriculum for the technical subject, so it has become imperative that these teachers undergo training. But they don't just undergo training, but they undergo training that is highly specialized, but also that involves a lot of practical work. So as a result, the venues where we conduct the training is very important. So we have therefore identified certain training venues where the training has to happen, where there would be sufficient workshops, sufficient equipment, and so on. So because we are doing this training with outside organizations or entities, therefore we have to enter into what you call the service level agreement. That is the agreement that is entered into between the provinces and those service providers. So when we do our own program, to say, normally we know that the training will take place in certain quarters. For instance, when we look at the academic year, we know that training will take place in the second quarter of the academic year and in the third quarter, right? Taking cognizance of the fact that provinces wouldn't target the last quarter, because in the last quarter, everyone is focusing on exams. So when we do our planning, we will say, we know that they are going to do training here. But unfortunately, because of the delay in the signing of those service level agreements, then they had to push their trainings to the last or the the third quarter, which starts in October. So we have monitored it, but the only problem is that we'll only be able to report on them in the third quarter, not in the future. I think that's the reason why we did underachieve. Then the next one is regarding to 2.4.5, which relates to the rural education policy. Members would also recall that we did present this policy to this forum, and it had a lot of challenges. We have presented it to NSCOR, to CEM twice, and we still presented it again to CEM, and there were a lot of concerns that were raised around the implications of this particular policy for the system. Therefore, we are only going to table it again at the next ESCO meeting, where we hope that finally we'll be able to finalize this policy. But I must indicate that CEM has already cautioned that the principles that are contained in this draft policy, they do support. But to say that we just maybe need to be careful, because once it makes its policy, then it means that it will have some legal implications. So we might not see it finally as a policy, but finally as guidelines for the improvement of education in rural countries. So that's where we are with that policy. But we're hoping that once we have communicated this to the DG's office, as well as to the office of the AG, we'll be able to change it at least to guidance and not policy, therefore be able to run the underpass. Now, there was also a question regarding 2.4.3, the indicator 2.4, which relates to training in mathematics. So the question was, how many teachers have been trained? So I can report that we have trained 251 teachers who are spread in this fashion, the training, came just for three provinces, KZN, Limpopo, and Western Cape. So in KZN, we trained 109 teachers, Limpopo 43 teachers, and the Western Cape 99 teachers. And the schools visited under indicator 2.4.5. We have visited two schools per province. Because our target was 18, we were targeting all the provinces. So the question was, which provinces were targeted? We're targeting all the provinces, but we are doing two schools per province. Right, and then rural policy again, but we have, I think we have responded to that one. The workbook delivered at 99%. It's 99% because we will normally make room for the delayed data that we normally get from provinces. For us to print and deliver, we depend on data from provinces. So, for instance, we had late data that was submitted to us from the Western Cape, covering 49 schools, which would be their new schools for 2019, so that's why 19. And then the other one was regarding the quality of our workbooks. DG spoke to that, but I must also indicate that the quality assurance is an ongoing process. We do that all the time. For instance, last year we were able to review the content of our subscription workbooks. This year, all the home languages are being reviewed, and then we also have, depending on the feedback that we get from the end user. So that process is ongoing. And the homeschooling, DG has responded to that. Yes, indeed, the uptake is not that high, but I think there is, we are seeing some growth in interest towards the usage of this homeschooling equipment. And I don't know if there's anything else that I have left out regarding the ECD chair. You in your
first question or your comment, you commented about ECD, especially the 0 to 4 year old. And I just wanted to indicate that in the National Integrated ECD Policy, the roles and responsibilities of each and every one of the role players is clearly outlined, where the role of DBE in particular is that of developing early learning curriculum, which we have done. I'm talking here about the 0 to 4 year old. And in as far as the payment of your practitioners is concerned, we would know that that would be the responsibility of the DSD, Department of Social Development, because they are paying grants for this ECD center. And training related methods, I think they do relate to DBT. And then, Chair, you also wanted to know what is entailed in this digital learning content, which is offline. I think members would be aware that we have a program to digitize our learning materials, teaching and learning materials. So in that process of digitizing, so it means you have to digitize, but also distribute. Right? So as we digitize, we also need to ensure that we create platforms where that material will be distributed. So this indicator speaks to the number of those learning materials that we would have curated, and in some instances maybe also, you know, developed a little bit to enhance its quality. And then from there, we will then put them on different platforms for accessibility by our end users. So this is what we are referring to by this. Now, offline means we are trying to make it a point that we make these materials to be accessible even in areas where there's no connectivity. So I think I've tried to cover all of this. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I will take, firstly, I just want to explain briefly on our 25-year review that we're working on. Just to say, as Vivi was saying, we were given a framework, and it is really our journey since 1994, and the key areas that we're looking at are access, efficiency, quality of learning outcomes, as well as equity. The draft has been shared with the minister, who has instructed the department to go on broader consultation and to serve as our own internal forum, as the DG was saying, but we're going out, so I have no doubt that it will come to the committee as well. On the issue of purpose that the DG has alluded to, indeed the work started a while back because we made purpose part of the work that we're doing on districts. So in terms of their roles and responsibility, the norming of the sizes of districts, of circuits, that has been done. And a major issue really was the issue of levels of appointment, as the DGSA said, but also the recruitment processes and the competences, and linked to that, the issue of capacity building, so that we have the right people in the right role. And just the last one on undocumented learners, there has been an instruction to the Department of Basic Education, to Home Affairs and Social Development to try and look at legislation and policies that guide this area so that we harmonize, because the issue is having people who are in the country who are undocumented and who are here illegally versus the rights of young people to a basic education. So that's work in progress. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. I think DJ have already responded to systemic evaluation. Maybe just to add, because there was a question whether we have appointed an international partner. The report that I have is that, yes, there is a recommendation currently with National Treasury to finalize the appointment of the international partner. Maybe also, there was also a concern about the failure of KZN to fund the learners at the required norms. We, as part of our monitoring and support to provinces, we've met with the province because their proposal was to go to national, to provincial treasury and request funding. But the reality, we know all that currently the answer that they're going to get was that there's no money. So in our engagement with them, we identified inefficiencies within the system. If they address those inefficiencies, then they can be able to realize the savings. We even costed those savings to say, if they do A, B, C, D, how much they can be able to save so that they can be able to fund learners at the right level. Also, maybe my passing comment, Chair, is that just to add on the LTSM, is that there's been a directive from HECOM that let's automate this process. Because, for instance, Free State, they do have an LTSM system, which is linked with ASSMs. Because most of the wastage is when you order without verifying with the system that about the land. In other words, allocate a book to a land. So firstly, they developed an LTSM system. Then HECOM said, okay, rather than go and develop, reinvent the wheel, let's get that system so that we can then apply it in the whole country. So we've got the source codes. We're currently engaging with CETA because now, you know, the province where they design system, they design it, then run it without also complying with certain specifications, because at DPE our systems are audited. So when you have a system, you must have a user requirement specification, technical design specification, functional design specification. So we're working with CETA to close all those gaps. Also, to share with you, Chair, that Northwest have received an SMS last week because they also have their own ELTSM system. They won the prize of 20,000 in the Center for Public Service Innovation, which is under the PSA. It's a brilliant system also dealing with LTSM. So there is a process of trying to automate the process of so that you can also to deal with the retrieval issues.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. DG asked me to respond to the issue of the hotspot school. So slide 84 includes the 19 districts that were supported by the DBE team during quarter two. And the 19 districts are in four provinces, it's the Eastern Cape, Free State, Gauteng, and Mpumalanga. In the other, in quarter one and in the remaining quarters, other provinces would also be covered, but this report is basically talking about those that were supported in quarter two specifically. Thank you.
Okay, now thank you, Chairperson. the question about the research study on the teacher development. We're doing this study with the CPUT, Cape Peninsula University of Technology, firstly to look at the experiences of teachers with programs that they have been exposed to. What is their perception about the quality of training that they have received? But the second element that we want to get out of the study is to come up with a framework for impact assessment that can be used even by provinces to measure the impact of the programs that they deliver. So these are the two key areas that the study is going to focus on. The issue of the diagnostic assessment and the positive trajectory that we are seeing, indeed, it can be attributed largely to the fact that we are now administering the pre and the post test, but at the same time, we are encouraging teachers to actually make it a habit of doing self-reflection and actually doing the assessment themselves, because this project is aimed at achieving a number of things. Whilst on one hand we want to improve the quality of the training programs that we offer to our teachers, but we also want to use this process to help professionalize the sector and ensure that teachers get into the habit of doing self-reflection, doing self-assessment, and engaging in ongoing professional development. Our minor worry around this is that the numbers are still largely attributed to the training that is done largely in Gauteng, and our challenge is still to ensure that other provinces also get come on board. And the issue around accounting and physical size, well, it's mainly because I think math and IFAL have traditionally been the key focus areas, and there's a lot of training that is actually focusing on those two subjects. So yes, we need to ramp up the process to also cover up on the accounting and the physical size. And just a comment on the issue of the placement of Funzal Shaka. DG has already addressed this issue. But just to indicate that it looks like the issue of the cutting back of the budgets from Treasury has also impacted negatively on the placement figures, because a number of these posts that were earmarked for absorption of the Funzal Shaka graduate could not be filled because of the budget cut. So that's another factor that, that has been absorbed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. The question on electricity, Chair. DG did indicate yes on projects that were allocated to a CD for electrification completely successful. However, if there are projects that are found to be outstanding on electrification, those are allocated to the EIG for the provincial program. I'll give an example for myself. There are projects where we provided solar panels, and those solar panels were stolen. So we cannot meet that school and attend them. So those projects, those schools are attended through the EIG in the provincial program. So any electrification issue that are, that might be outstanding is the water and sanitation. Chair was concerned about whether the targets will be met. Chair, what gives us confidence that those targets will be met is that currently we only have 32 projects that are at procurement. And the reason why we have those 32 projects at procurement is because of contractors that failed, and we had to get replacement contractors to complete those projects. All other projects are at implementation. So that is what gives us that confidence that, that we will complete the target. In actual fact, I've been trying to reconcile the number of practical completion certificates that we have received since the end of the second quarter. I'm at 77 now. That is what has been completed after the end of the second quarter, which is an indication that we have caught quite a bit of momentum on that one. The last one, Chair, I've been trying to find the first quarter report through my system. I can't find it. But however, my suspicion, and we will verify that, my suspicion is that as and when we receive practical completion certificates, we update the numbers. So it might be that at the end of the first quarter, we had 10 certificates. I'm just giving a number. We might have 10 certificates. But subsequent to that, a completion certificate comes, but it is dated before the end of the first quarter. So we go back and reconcile those numbers. That might be the reason why they might be. But in as far as the number of schools completed, we are at 16 at the end of the second quarter, and we have completion certificates to verify.
But
then,
I think that is
an
area where DG need to make sure how we report to those. Mm-hmm. As we say, how do we report to those? To go back to the first quarter, that we have, you know, it will cause problems.
You are absolutely right. In fact, Mr. Mabuku confirms why we qualify the matter. It's because the same thing is with this, that you don't have a full account of your assets, and it affects your accruals, it affects your asset register, you know, etc. etc.
Yes, it affects even your commitment.
It's an issue that worries us. If we had the time, in fact, in future, we'll do this, Chair. As part of our reporting, we also include the audit issue. The Director Internal Audit is here. She's been doing work to follow up on all these things that we've been qualified on. So we'll also include them in the third quarterly report.
Thank you, Chair. I just needed clarity on the issue of the system of the ITSM that you say that you're thinking of incorporating it, specifically the one of the Free State. I'm a little bit worried of the Northwest, because we were there and, you know, didn't see any textbooks, so I just want to find out what exactly does this ITSM, or what system that you're talking about, what that its functionality is.
I wanted just to add more on health care problems as I was communicating with the there's a cry or a suggestion from the principal of the school that I had in that. How would it be that the hostels are being supplied with electricity since they are not allocated at the moment? Just the solar system hostels. And I also wanted to get more clarity. You just touched that the protests are there down at school. How do the what impact are you going to have in the fraction of the solution and so forth to address the other ideas of the activities?
Thank you. I think I'm not going to be out anymore.
Yeah.
Can you just clear this one again?
What we usually do is that if the community is under siege, or community has put itself under siege, and learners are unable to attend school, the logical thing to do is to protect the 12 learners. But my worry is that it's got a rippling effect for the lower grade. Effectively, it means that you've got no space for grade R, you've got no space for grade 1 up to grade 11. Oliphant's Hook in JTG is a case in point. They couldn't, admit new learners, because learners had missed their own year. So that's what is happening more often than not. Grade 12 learners are protected. Mr. Panda has been the acting branch head. I'm getting daily reports on what happens in all the 9 provinces, all the centers, every day when there is an exam activity. And at no stage did I get any report that said learners could not write because of protest. What I would get is that we had to remove grade 12 learners, get them to a facility to go and write there. So far, that's what we've been able to do. But my worry then is about your grade 11, grade 10, up to the lowest grade. What happens to them? Life comes to a standstill. About maybe the system, Mr. Mpaza could explain that, but we must also be cautious of not creating an impression that an electronic system is going to be a panacea. I know of systems that are working, but you'd still have those errors. But maybe you can just briefly explain.
Okay, no. Thanks, Chair. I think the system, what it does, because on SSMs, there is a module on LTSM. So what it does, which I think it's a value for money, and it's even proved by not us as a SEC, but by an independent Center for Public Service Innovation, which is under the DSA. Because there they looked at the innovation that will bring, whether is it adding value in the public service. So what it does, it links the data on SSMs. In other words, if the teacher is ordering a book, then the system, it allows all the managers at the district level, at the second level, to see whether you ordered the right book with the title that is allowed in the sector. But most importantly is to make sure that all the learners are allocated the right quantity. In other words, you don't find a situation where the principal, because they've been over-reporting learners, then they will keep the pile of the books in their offices so as to maintain the high number of learners that they're over-reporting. So it eliminates that wastage to make sure that the quantity of the books is according to what the school is having in terms of the enrollment.
Honourable, I think we will need the examination one day on this system, because we needed to even to talk to the issues of Oshawa, because you know, if ever we fail on that one, that is the situation that we find ourselves in. So they can order, they can do what, but if we cannot keep those books. And also, DG has to say, when I'm going back to. So remember the year of universal coverage, where every school was, you know. And just to have that account, is to say, how far are we now? How is the bed look? How is it in this? See what are the plans of the department to go back to that so that you can have a question on the same footing between the national. I think that one would be important when it comes to the issue of good text of the picture in our school. Honourable members, thank you very much. We are late. I know we are not even going to get lunch now. We go straight to the house. And I can assure you, I will see now, today it will be the members of the Basic Education Portfolio Committee that has 3 weeks only go out to the restaurant to get a piece of cake for those weeks, because I know it's taken a lot of time for the time. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, DG, and your delegation. And let's meet next week where we get an update on how ready the system is for next year, where all these issues of LTSM, because that is where we need to be very sure to say how ready are you for next year, 2019, issues of admission and all sorts of stuff. So let us go out there and keep it. Thank you.